Thanks to all of you for coming out this holiday weekend. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agnati Maranda Syam Ganangana Salakya Chaksurun Miditam Yena Tajmai Sugirave Numha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swapanantikam. Before we launch into our topic, a story that you might find humorous. Some of you might be old enough to remember Richard Daley, who was the mayor of Chicago for 21 years, from 55 to 1976. He was known as a rather tough guy to work for. And one story goes like this. One of Mayor Daley's speechwriters came in and asked for a raise. Mayor Daley responded, as could be expected, said, "I'm not going to give you a raise. You're getting paid more than enough already. It should be enough for you that you're already working for a great American hero like myself." And that was the end of it, or so the mayor thought. 2 weeks later, Mayor Daley was on his way to give a speech to a convention of veterans. He was going to receive nationwide press coverage. Now, one other thing that Mayor Daley was famous for was not reading his speeches until he got up to the podium. So here he stood before a vast throng of veterans and national press, and he began to describe the plight of the veterans. He said, "I'm concerned for you. I have a heart for you. I'm deeply convinced that this country needs to take better care of its veterans. Today, I'm proposing a 17-point plan that includes city, state, and federal government to better care for the veterans of this country." By this time, of course, everyone, including the mayor himself, was on the edge of their seats to find out what the plan was. He turned the page and saw only these words: "You're on your own now, you great American hero." Our talk today is called Take Off the Pressure. I want to talk to you about being comfortable not knowing, being comfortable without all the answers. We face situations all the time. We don't know how they're going to work out. We look at the facts, the figures. We run our reports, and the odds seem to be overwhelmingly against us. We feel the onus is on us and us alone to come up with a plan, to find some kind of a solution. We think we have to come up with the answer, or else there'll be dire consequences. There are some things that God, or Krishna is our name for God, doesn't want us to know. He has the solution, but he doesn't want to show it to you right now. Because if he showed it to you right now, it wouldn't take hardly anything on your part. If you could see how your child is going to turn out, if you could see the doors that Krishna is going to open for you, the favor, the provision, the healing, then it would be child's play to believe. The test comes, the growth comes when we don't know the answer, when we don't see how it's going to happen. In fact, thoughts are telling us, how are you going to make it after you retire? What if you don't get that scholarship? What if that chronic illness doesn't turn around? Problem is, sometimes there's no logical solution to what we're facing. The more we try to reason it out, the more discouraged and the more confused we get, thinking, what in the world am I going to do? Well, this is the point at which faith is meant to kick in. You have to learn to be comfortable not knowing. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to come up with the plan. It's okay not to know. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, Arjuna, who's Krishna's devotee and friend, Krishna's right there as his chariot driver, the bad guys were facing him on the battlefield. They wanted to fight Arjuna and his brothers along with Krishna. Now, Arjuna was a more than competent enough warrior to kill the bad guys and rid the world of their brand of evil. He'd done that. He'd fought on the side of good in hundreds and hundreds of battles in the past. Been there, done that, business as usual, except for one crucial difference here. The people facing him, the bad guys, were his teachers, his mentors, his coaches, his cousin brothers. Those criminals had a bodily connection with him, and in the culture and society that he grew up, rather than shooting arrows at them, he had been trained and conditioned to bow down and touch their feet. So Arjuna is in between the two battles, and he's playing out various outcomes in his mind, not seeing an optimal solution. He says, nahi prapashyami mamapanudyah. One option is to go ahead and fight and kill them, but then I would not have any happiness for the rest of my life because the spoils would be tainted with the blood of my teachers and my gurus and my cousins. But that would be an unhappy outcome. On the other hand, I could let them kill me unarmed and unresisting, but then the world would be plunged into darkness. He couldn't figure it out. But in the end, he became comfortable not knowing. Krishna said, I have a plan. That plan is for the ultimate good of the maximum number of living beings. It's not, in fact, your job to figure out my plan. That's my job, not your job. Your job is to be an instrument in the fight. I didn't create you to be God, but I created you to serve my divine will. And as the loving father of all creatures, my plan is going to be the best from a universal point of view. And he said finally to Arjuna, Tajmad tvam utishti yasho lapa jipa bhangche raja samridam. Ultimately, Arjuna, whether you fight or not, it doesn't matter, because these Kauravas are not going home tonight. If I don't use you as an instrument, I'll find someone else. Now, in the end, Arjuna had such trust in Krishna that he didn't have to understand how everything's going to work out. He didn't have to have all the details. He learned to take it one step at a time. Sometimes we think it's a lack of faith to say, well, I don't know. We think we have to have it all figured out. Well, our message today is take the pressure off of yourself. You don't have to know. Why? Because the only one that matters, he knows. He has you in the palm of his hand. He's directing your steps. He's planned out all of your days. He has a blueprint for your life. It is said that although the smallest minnow doesn't understand the vastness of the oceans or the chemical composition of the water, that doesn't keep him from being at home in the water. A single sparrow has no comprehension of space and aerodynamics, but doesn't stop the sparrow from being perfectly at home in the air. So our minds simply cannot fathom the magnitude of God. His ways are unsearchable and inscrutable. Here's the catch. He doesn't always give us the details. In fact, if he showed you everything that there is in store, you'd not only be amazed, not only would it excite you, but there'd be another effect as well. When you saw what it would take for you to get from point A to where God wants you to be, the giants that you're going to face, the closed doors, the times that you have to stretch your faith, put it all out there, you might say, oh, okay, Krishna, I'm fine just where I am. Let's settle here. One reason that Krishna doesn't show us everything is he knows that we would probably talk ourselves out of it. When you can't figure out how something's going to work out, what do we normally do? We start worrying. We start losing sleep. But that's a sign that God doesn't want you to know. You have to learn to be comfortable not knowing. And when you say, Lord, I don't know if my business is going to make it. I don't see how my family's going to be restored. I don't know how I'm going to raise these children as a single parent. But I'm not going to live stressed. I'm not going to live worried. I'm going to trust you that even though I don't see a way, you have a way. I trust you that although I don't have the answer, I don't have to know because you know and you control the universe. And that attitude of faith is what allows Krishna to come into your life and do amazing things. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The truth is that Krishna, God, had the solution before you had the problem. He could show you the details. He could show you how it's going to resolve. And if he's not, we just have to take it as a test. He doesn't want you to know right now. He wants to know if you can trust him even when you don't see the solution. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person that wants to know. I like to have a plan. I'm a detailed person, organized. I'm always trying to figure things out. When I don't see a worry, I tend to get stressed. I'm tempted to live uptight, on edge. Well, what I have learned is it's very liberating. It's very freeing when you learn this principle that there are some things we're just not supposed to know. It's okay to say, like Arjuna, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm still going to be in peace. That's not a lack of faith. It's just the opposite. You're taking yourself off the throne and you're putting God back up on the throne. When we're trying to figure everything out, come up with our plan, say, if I could just make this happen, if I could just manipulate this situation, if I could just convince this person to like me, really what we're doing there, we're trying to be God, aren't we? As long as you're on the throne, the problem is that God's going to step back. But when you say, Krishna, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to try to keep figured out why, because I trust you. I know that your plans for me are for good. When you're comfortable not knowing, then Krishna will make things happen that you could not make happen on your own. Again, referring back to our scripture and the story of Arjuna and his four brothers, the Pandavas. I won't give you the back story. Arjuna and his four brothers, headed up by Yudhisthira, who was the king, had one wife, and her name was Draupadi. In order that there not be any friction between the five husbands of the one wife, they had a rule that when one of the Pandavas was alone in a chambers with Draupadi, no other brother would come in. If another brother were to come into the chamber, the result would be exile for 1 year in the forest. Things went along quite fine. Until one day, a Brahmin came to Arjuna and said, my cows have been stolen by some rustlers. I pay taxes to the king, and the king, Yudhisthira, your elder brother, it's his responsibility to go after those rustlers and return my stolen property. Otherwise, I'm going to spread ill repute about your brother all over the kingdom. He's a weak, useless king. It just so happened that Arjuna's weapons were in the same room, and Yudhisthira, the king, and his older brother was in the room with Draupadi. So in order to save his brother's reputation and do a good deed, Arjuna knocked on the door. He went in. He didn't look, just in case they were in any embrace or anything intimate. He just went straight across to where his weapons were. He explained the situation to Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira was perfectly fine, understood it. He went out with his weapons. He apprehended the thieves. He returned the Brahmin's property, and he went back and said, I'll see you in 12 months. And Yudhisthira said, you don't have to do this, Arjuna. The arrangement wasn't meant for this kind of a situation. And Arjuna said, a deal's a deal. I don't understand it. It seems unfair, but if it happened, God must have a reason. And I'm comfortable not knowing what that reason is right now. It so happened that during the 12 months that Arjuna was in the forest, he did penances and austerities. And as a result, he met Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva gave him his Pasupati weapon. This is like a nuclear weapon which is invoked with the use of arrows and by sound vibrations. Later on, when the Pandavas fought, as I described before, when they fought the battle with their enemies, the Kauravas, Arjuna employed that very weapon to win the battle. But what Arjuna didn't understand, what made no logical sense, was essential for the ultimate victory of the Pandavas over their enemies, of good over evil, of light over worldwide darkness. Where Arjuna didn't see a way, Krishna already had a way. And similarly in your life, There may be some things that you can't understand, that you can't figure out. You don't see the answer. It's okay. We don't have to see it. Don't get discouraged. And above all, don't start complaining. Don't go on Facebook. Don't go on Instagram. Don't pick up your cell phone. Recognize that Lord Krishna is working behind the scenes. He's about to make things happen that you didn't see coming. It's going to be unusual. It's going to be out of the ordinary. But you're going to know that the only explanation for this is the goodness of God. Just because you don't know all the answers doesn't mean that God's not going to show up and do something amazing in your life. Now, our challenge this afternoon is trust when you don't understand. Be comfortable not knowing. Take it in the right sense, but sometimes you don't have to try to figure everything out. Of course, work hard, exert your energy, use wisdom, common sense. But when you start getting frustrated, when you can't find a solution, when you're tempted to live worried, frustrated, that's when Krishna doesn't want you to know. You're going to learn a lot about Arjuna this afternoon. Third story to do with Arjuna, who was the greatest devotee of Krishna that the world has ever known. In the battle, Arjuna's 16-year-old son, Abhimanyu, participated. And Arjuna, of course, battlefields are not exactly safe places. But Arjuna figured, you know, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, descended to earth. He's personally present, weighing in on our side. And then there are my four brothers, who are Abhimanyu's uncles. And they've promised that they'll look out for him. So he seems to be amply and adequately protected. And so Arjuna wasn't particularly worried about his 16-year-old son being on the battlefield. So imagine his shock when he comes home at the end of the day's battle, just as the sun goes down when hostilities would traditionally cease, and he's told that your 16-year-old son, Abhimanyu, was slaughtered this afternoon. How in the world is Arjuna supposed to understand that? Here, Yudhisthira's brother tries to tell him what happened. When you went to another part of the battlefield, our enemies formed the wheel formation. The wheel formation was so effective chewing up our enemies that we had to do something drastic. Now, your son was the only one among us that knew how to penetrate into the interior of that wheel formation and disrupt our enemies. And we said that, Abhimanyu, if you can go ahead and be our point man, we'll guard you. We'll guard your wheels. We'll watch your back and we'll watch your sides. So Abhimanyu punctured into the wheel. Yudhisthira, Bhima, Nakula, and Sahadeva accompanied him, but one puny warrior named Jayadratha from Sindh province fought the other four Pandavas to a standstill. And they were unable to follow Abhimanyu in, and while he was in there, this 16-year-old boy was ganged up upon by seven lethal champions and killed unfairly. Who can figure out the ways of the Lord? They destroyed his chariot, they destroyed his armor, and finally they wore him down until finally he was slain. Now, seeking to give some meaning, the great sage Vyasadeva, who compiled all the Vedic literatures, nobody is more knowledgeable, nobody is higher in terms of yoga and penances and philosophical acumen. Vyasadeva comes and he gives a little light to Arjuna. He says, by laying down his life in battle, Abhimanyu has gone to the regions attained only by those who perform the ultimate sacrifice. There he will reside in unending bliss. No enjoyment in this world would be able to entice him away from where he's gone. He shines like a god in a splendid new body. We should not grieve for those who have laid down their lives in a righteous battle. Destiny is supreme, O Arjuna. No man can change what Krishna has planned. Knowing this, take heart and perform your God-given duty. Surely the Lord's unscrutable will is meant for the world's welfare. If you simply follow his will, then you'll understand everything in time. This is Vyasadeva, compiled all the Vedas, being comfortable with not having all the answers, being okay with uncertainty. Reminds me of a four-stanza poem by John Greenleaf Whittier. I know not what the fruit hath of marvel or surprise, assured alone that life or death his mercy underlies. I know not where his islands lift their fronded palms in air. I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of life is over and our work is done. Then in thy great mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest, peace at the last. The way that you can say we know not and not be worried is if you know that all things work for your good. I don't know how this is going to work out, but what is more important is I do know who is on the throne. I do know who is directing our steps. I do know who has planned out my days. Are you frustrated over what you know and what you don't know about what you can and can't figure out? Have a new perspective. Even Vyasadeva said, I know not. It's okay not to have the answers. And then Krishna himself came to Arjuna, comforted him with these words. Arjuna, do not give away to grief. This is the inevitable end of heroes who never think of retreating. Those who know the scriptures have said that this is the highest and most desirable goal for a warrior who knows his duty. Heroes always covet such an end. There is no better death for a warrior than to fall in battle while facing the enemy. Undoubtedly, Abhimanyu has gone to regions only reached by the most pious men. Do not lament, for you are plunging your followers and your brothers in sorrow. Please console your kinsmen at this time. Take hold of yourself and throughout this grief. So now you all know a lot more about Arjuna than you did an hour ago, don't you? And it might inspire you to pick up a copy of the Mahabharata and find out the whole backstory. You may not know how your situation can work out. The odds seem against you. You're playing different options in your head, and none of them look good. So you could be frustrated and worried at this point, but our encouragement is be still and know that He is God. You don't have to be God. You don't have to figure it out. He's on the throne. He has the solution. The reason that we can't see it is because we think natural. But God is supernatural. He's going to make things happen out of the ordinary that we can't see, that we can't predict. But what we can do, and which is very powerful, is we can say, I know not where the finances are coming from to get me out of debt. I know not how my child is going to get back on course. I know not what the future holds, but I do know that God is on the throne. I do know that He's fighting my battles. I do know that His plans for me are for good and not evil. I do know that what He started, He will finish. We don't have to know how, as long as we know who is in control. As long as we know that the creator of the universe is going to open doors that we couldn't open. The creator of the universe is going to break chains that have held us back. The creator of the universe is going to bring dreams to pass that seemed impossible. And what can we do? Just keep thanking Him that He's working behind the scenes. Just keep talking like it's on the way. Keep that song of praise in your heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Keep being good to people. Keep doing the right thing. Don't let what you don't know and what you can't see keep your faith from being released. In 1978, I had been the president of the Berkeley, San Francisco temple there for 3 years. Incidentally, it was a Mormon chapel that we'd purchased. And I took over in 75. In 1978, 3 years later, we'd gone from 20 devotees to 120 devotees. We'd purchased a 150-acre farm in Mendocino County. We also purchased 5 houses on Stewart Street there, just off of Telegraph Avenue, to accommodate all the new devotees. We were the number one temple in book distribution in North America, turning in hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, the publishing arm of the Hare Krishna movement. And we built up the annual charitable festivals in Golden Gate Park up to 20,000 attendees. Now, at that time, I assumed that I would spend the rest of my life in the Bay Area. But God is inscrutable. He has his own plans, and he has his own way of fulfilling them. If you told me then that his greater plan for my life was to go to Utah, I would have said, you're out of your mind. You know? Now I know. Radio station, biggest color festival in the Western Hemisphere, 2 temples, and you guys. It's okay not to know how everything's going to turn out. You just have to be at peace with what you don't know. If there's something you don't have an answer for in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, some area in which you'd normally be worried, trying to figure it out, take that same time that you'd spend stressed and worried and spend that time thanking Krishna that he's working. Thank him that he's making your crooked places straight. Thank him that what's meant for your harm, he's turning to your advantage. Thank him that all things are working for your good. You weren't created to live uptight, worried, and pressured. We're bringing this unnecessarily on ourselves by trying to figure things out. God may not want us to figure it out right now. Another short poem. You'll recognize the first line, I'm sure. It's very much part of our vernacular. God moves in a mysterious way, as wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his never-failing will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are full with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And here's another point. God's ways are better than your ways. What God has in mind is much better than what you have in mind. Don't be discouraged about what you don't know, about what you can't figure out. Stay in faith. Krishna's going to surprise you down the road. The medical report says no way, but God makes a way. You don't know how you could get out of debt, but all of a sudden you get a new client, a new contract, a promotion you didn't see coming, something that thrusts you ahead explosively, something out of the ordinary. And that's why you can't see it now. That's why you can't find the answer. Krishna's going to do it in a supernatural way. You're going to see the exceeding greatness of God. You're going to see his favor exceedingly. You're going to see something that you weren't expecting. Finishing up here, I read about a depressed songwriter that lived in the past who battled the successes of his past and his fear of the future. He was bankrupt. He had a cerebral hemorrhage at the age 65 that left him partially paralyzed. He worried that the creative spark was now gone. He was depressed. And in the midst of his depression, a man came by who had compiled some scriptures in a semi-orderly fashion. He challenged the songwriter to put some music to the text. The writer looked at the text, which lay scattered in front of him, and he saw these words: he was despised and rejected of humanity. That was something he could relate with. He felt that way too. And then he pulled up another sheet of paper. It talked about the one for whom no one had any pity. That pretty much resonated with him. And then he read on that that same person had trusted God still. And he read the words, "I know in spite of all the odds being against me that my Redeemer lives." And then he read the words, "Rejoice and hallelujah." And you figured it out. That night, George Frideric Handel was blessed with a, quote, gentle cosmic light. He was led slowly out of darkness into depression by a desire to write music at a feverish pitch. He worked tirelessly, hardly without eating and sleeping, for 17 days until he completed the manuscript. He had swooned out so completely that a doctor was summoned to see if he was still alive. Out of that depression, out of that darkness, out of that unknowingness, came the light of the Messiah. A light that would illuminate the lives of countless millions and millions. A man in a deep depression, it is said, began punching holes in the darkness. And when you study the heroes of faith, like Handel, like Arjuna, like Yudhisthira, you'll see that there were many times they had to say, "I don't know." Arjuna said, "I know not how I'm going to fight my relatives, but I do know the Lord is on my side." Prabhupada, our spiritual master, leaving India at 7 years old with no money to come to America to start a spiritual revolution. He wrote on the boat as it was coming into Boston Harbor, "I know not how I'm going to lead young Americans to Krishna consciousness. But Krishna, I trust that you would have not brought me here. You would have not put me in this situation unless you knew, unless you had a plan. And I trust that all things will work out for the best." And when these heroes of faith didn't have the answers, they still believed that God was in control. Here's something. It is said of Christopher Columbus that when he left Spain, he did not know exactly where he was going. When he set foot on the shores of America, he did not know where he was. And when he returned to Spain, he did not know exactly where he had been. The key to faith is trusting. When you don't understand, trusting. When you don't have the answers, trusting. When it seems as if the opposite is happening from what you're hoping for. In those junctures, it's easy to get negative. It's easy to get critical. "God, why is it not working out?" But not knowing is a test. When you do what you don't know, when you do what seems impossible, that's when God shows up and shows out in your life. He's saying that when you pass the test of not knowing, supernatural provision is coming. You may be right now in some way, shape, or form where Arjuna was. Krishna promised you something. It's been a long time coming. Seems like it's too late. You don't see how you could have the baby. You don't see how you could get well. You don't see how you could accomplish the dream. Well, our message is you don't have to see it in order for God to do it. You don't have to have all the answers. What God has spoken for your life is still on the way. God has provision coming for you, something that normally wouldn't happen, something out of the ordinary, favor, promotion, divine connections. Why? Because you trusted when you didn't understand. That's why Krishna's going to do things for you. Things that you can't necessarily explain. Promotion that you didn't work for. Having a baby when you were told it was too late. Getting well when the medical report said you were done. Seeing your business take off. Seeing your family restored. What is all that? When you obey without the details, when you stay in faith, when you don't see any sign of the answer, when every thought tells you there's no way, that's when God's going to show out in your life. That's when he'll defy the odds. He'll take you to places that you could not go on your own. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our conclusion is we're asking you to be comfortable not knowing. Quit worrying about those things that you can't figure out. God still has you in the palm of his hand. There may be some times when you have to say, I know not, but don't stop there. Go further and say along with Arjuna, my not knowing is okay. All things work for my good. I'm going to take the pressure off. I'm going to get down off of the throne. I'm going to let God do his job. If you'll be comfortable trusting the Lord without knowing all the details, you're going to see supernatural provisions, supernatural protection, supernatural favor, supernatural healing, divine connections. Lord Krishna is not only going to bring promises to pass in this life, but in the next life, it's going to take you back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.